This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So they're saying that there might be a special rated DVD, but it's called the Lewis rated DVD.
Is that right? Well, that might be.
How much are you allowed to riff on this? I mean, when you were doing this movie, were you given plenty of room to do your thing?
Yeah, they let me go, and then we kind of did it. And, I mean, they really, it was Stephen and Tom and the writers, and they would kind of we'd all kind of work on it together. They would let me go nuts, and then they'd say, keep this, do that, keep this. And so we kind of would bring it in, and then we'd work on it and get it to what we wanted, or what they wanted, or what we wanted, and then it would be, and then they'd just say, all right, now just go nuts. And I would.
Now, why did it take you so long to get a substantial role in the movie? I mean, everyone thinks you're this genius and that this an incredible talent, and you're a Yale Drama School graduate.
Yeah, how fucked up is that? You can call my agents. We could start with them. I don't know. I think it was one of the. You know, this business isn't the people who. Who run the business, the people in charge, are not rocket scientists. And
really?
And the thing is, and it was some. I was asked a question earlier about what, the kids who, what's in store for these kids if this becomes like a hoo-ha film and they kind of get known and all of that. And I said the toughest, because to me the toughest thing, how stupid is this, that learning this craft is easier than learning the business. It's patently absurd. But that is the case. There are people who seem to know how to do it, but it's like idiot savants. Because as far as I can tell, there is no rhyme or reason to how this works. I went up in front. You go up in front as a comic or as an actor. You stand in front of them. They don't let, everybody in the audience is laughing. They don't laugh. Everybody in the audience is laughing. They don't laugh. Fifth time. Certain there's certain people I can go back to list the people that sat in the room and didn't laugh, and by the fifth time they go, oh, I get it. You watched it five times. There was not some revelation that I had that I became a better, it was extraordinary. So I don't know.
Are you surprised that it was this movie that you got? I mean, this team.
Yeah, I was shocked I was getting anything of this size, of this size role, because. I was getting stuff, there was more and more interest occurring in terms of, I was going through the development stuff with television, because they kind of knew, oh look, he's on TV, so he can be on TV! And so I was going through that, and people were, in Law and Order, and I was known within the community, but within the community of artists, I've always been kind of known, and so I was just surprised that they called up with a role this size. And then the next one was big. I mean, I did four movies in a year, and they're all fairly large roles.
How different are all these movies?
The next one is a movie with Robin Williams and Christopher Walken.
Man of the Year.
And then the movie after that is Bob Saget. It's me, Bob Saget, and Samuel Jackson, and a whole bunch of stars. Farce of the Penguins. But that's a voiceover. That's a narration. And that movie, I think, is going to be... I think that movie, unless I'm crazy, it's like one of those things that it'll be like the Aristocrats. It is so insane because it's penguins talking. I mean, that's the other great thing. We don't even try. It's just they're walking around, and I'm turning my penguin turns his head, and there's Bob's penguin. It's madness.
To say fuck as much as you want in that movie?
What we did was, to Saget's credit, we did it initially, and as we said, a lot of fucks. And then Bob showed it, and watched what he had done, and realized that we had to really edit it and pick and choose. You can't really get away with it because it was like one of these things. It was funny for 20 minutes, and then it was not funny anymore. And he did a lot of work on it. So
what else is there? Then?
And then there's Unaccompanied Minors, which was the Christmas movie. Because when you think Christmas, you think Lewis.
I would have thought so as well, actually.
And that's a big, and all of those were big.
Who do you play in Unaccompanied Minors?
I play the, I'm a manager of an airport on Christmas Eve, and I'm going away on my first vacation in 12 years, and there's a blizzard. And I, And just as I'm getting on the plane, my boss calls and says, I have to stay. And so I snap. And these kids, all these kids are there because they're all traveling on Christmas Eve. And now I'm in an airport with all these kids. All these kids and my assistant is Wilmer Valderrama. And it was great. And so I chased kids and yelled at them.
How was shooting in Utah?
Hideous. I mean, it's Salt Lake.
It's a horrible place, isn't it?
It is, except, I said the only good thing about it is, one thing is 10 weeks in Salt Lake is really like 10 years. So if you get used to the fact that you're really living a longer life than you ever imagined, but I found a great Italian restaurant. Certain things, managed to help me survive. A great Italian restaurant and a phenomenal sushi restaurant.
How has stand-up comedy prepared you for movie work?
I think a lot of what movie work is confidence. At least, I don't know what real actors bring to the table, but for me, it was confidence. That's what I got from it.
But you trained as a real actor.
I trained as a playwright, and then I worked with really great actors. I mean, I worked, I was around really good actors, and it was just watching them, paying attention, and then doing roles, in theater, and the roles got a little bigger and a little bigger and a little bigger. But the stand-up, I think, allowed me a place to. I mean, stand-up is in essence, it is a form of theater. It's and you bring your guy on stage, and you're the actor. You're the thing that makes a difference is you're the actor, the writer, and the director simultaneously. And I think it allowed me a kind of a freedom that I'm not too afraid to try anything.
Is stand-up easier under the Bush administration than it would be under other previous? Because your material is very politically slanted.
It is now.
Does it make it easier because of what is happening?
No, it makes it. My now approach to the act is that I'm trying to get away from it. 80% of my act used to be not about politics, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that I've less and less time to deal with certain things. And I'm writing on stage most of the time. I've never taken pen to paper to write my act. And these guys are writing it. And it was kind of the discovery. And it was partly the way for a long time. That was the way I did stand up. I would get up at the end of the week and I would every day I'd rip like articles out and throw them down and I put them in a pile. And people knew that this was new. And I'd go on stage and I'd just read the stuff and throw them away. And I developed somewhat of my act from that. But these guys have given me, how can you not pass this up? It's spectacular as a comic. But I've now gone back. I said, I'm tired. I said, I'm the comic that people come in and they go, he's really funny. Now I'm going to go home and kill myself. And I said, I don't really want to be the comic who does that. I would like to get back to a balance of more. And what I try to do is take what is political and take it down to the level of what's going on personally with us. So you take the gay marriage issue and you get it out of that fucking stratosphere they put it in and take it down to reality, and that kind of stuff, or flag burning and anytime you have a repressive, essentially repressive, this sense of, like with the FCC when they're kind of going that kind of family values horse shit that they spew. My mother couldn't cook brisket. So is that my family value? So I should pass that on? She couldn't cook it, and And I will now not be able to cook it either, and I will pass that on to my children. That really is as much an impetus for the comedy as anything else. I mean, that kind of, as soon as they start putting pressure like that, not just in terms of my work, but in terms of the audience. I mean, the audience that I've got, he might as well have been the bus driver. My audience has increased a ton, and it isn't just because of me. It's because there are not a lot of people talking. I end up in this position that I get to say stuff.
if they come and ask you, you know, to do a non-comedic role, you know, very serious role, you know, remake a Citizen Kane, for God's sake, or something, is that something that you're also open to do, or are you, you know...
Yeah, I mean, I would do some. I'm not going to do, like, you know, really... We're not doing fucking Lear. I'm not. I don't want to do anything that's really exhausting. but if it was interesting, serious, I would certainly do it. You know, like A Businessman Who's a Prick, that kind of stuff. I mean, like I did this thing for Law and Order where I play this shock jock who's just a prick.
And was this recently? Has it been aired?
Yeah, it was aired. It's Law and Order SVU or SUV or whatever the fuck. It was written by a writer I know. I mean, a playwright who writes for them. And it was an interesting. It was a good piece of. You know, it was fun to do. I mean, but if I was to do, be honest, to do any film at this point after doing these four, I would really have to know that the people I'm working with that there are no assholes in the room. Because that's the one thing of these four movies. And I can't imagine doing... No, I'm one asshole around. And that's the only way to do this stuff. I am not going to give up my freedom as a comic to lock into some set for 10 weeks with somebody who's like, having some sort of a fucking meltdown in the trailer because his pie is not warm. I just no.
Did you and Robin compete for comic
no.
time? And how did that relate?
No, that's you know, I'm not an idiot. It's his movie, and Robin really thinks I'm funny, and Robin is extremely generous. You know, he knows it behooves him that. That my stuff get out in this film, you know, too, and he knows what I can bring to the table. So we would actually be doing scenes, and he would go, he remembers everything. So he remembers all of my act. I told him, could he actually just start doing my act? I would prefer it. I'll be more than willing to just send me a royalty check. This is the Lewis Black act now. But we would be around talking, and he would, in a scene, and he'd go, tell him this thing. It would be a conversational scene. He'd go, Lewis, tell him what you were telling me the other day about. And he would set me up, and he did... I don't know if the scene got in the movie, and I'm praying it did. And it just shows. And that's when I really. It was like this fifth or sixth day we were shooting, and we're gonna. I'm his speechwriter, and we're back, and I'm trying to get him to be funny. He's not funny anymore. He's taking this way too seriously. This running for president. We're in a giant pool. The shot is being shot from here, and I'm at the end of the pool, just begging him. To do it, and he's going, no, I'm going to be serious, and I keep going, and we were doing all sorts of things, you know, throwing stuff back and forth, and then he walks out of the scene, just walked away, and I'm just screaming, no, you've got to do this, and I'm begging, and I'm on my hands and knees, and I'm pleading, and I'm banging my hands on the floor, and then he doesn't say anything, he's gone. And then I finished, and then Robin came out and said, "See, that's Lewis Black." And they all went, "And it's great." And that was when, you know, he has that kind of, you know, generosity of spirit, which you don't really, you know, you might not know about, because he does, you know, because he's, and it's also, I'll tell you, for all they say, you know, well, you know, boy, what was it like? Does he ever come down? Yeah, he does come down. A and B. When you're doing, you're on a set for 14 hours. It's great to have somebody who's fucking going for 14 hours. He was like a dynamo. So you never, you know. So you always he always brought energy to the room.
He's like that at these tables. He's like that when he's
up. Yeah. He brings energy to the room. I mean, I feel that's vital. And I learned a lot from that.
These young actors were saying that you would give them advice. What kind of advice were you giving?
Are they full of shit? I never fucking... They didn't say that. I'd like to know
Black
what...
Said they had to show them how to say it.
Blake was saying she got advice from you, but she couldn't say it.
Wow, I wonder what I told her. I wonder if it was last week. I was drunk. God knows what I was telling her. Holy shit. Well, she couldn't say it. She got advice, probably said, I probably said, you know, my genius is the cure for cancer. it's a vaccine. No. I don't know what I really wish I could remember. I would talk to them about stuff, but they're really pretty savvy. You know, they're in the midst of it. I mean, but Blake, I think I gave Blake some advice about how to deal with the business, because she's like done two films. She comes from a real family, you know. She's like a real human being, and she's got to deal with this madness. And it is madness.
How do you deal with it?
I like it, you know, so I'm...
You like the madness?
I kind of do. I mean, I've been looking for, you know, you can't beat this. I've been looking for, as much as I bitch about having to come into a room and do all of this press, I've been looking for this kind of attention fucking ever.
My wife said to me this morning, she's surprised that you're even doing the junket because you're so anti this kind of establishment and so anti-conformity.
I'm not. If I was, I wouldn't be in public. I mean, you got to be. I'm. You know, I am anti this and anti that, but I want to see the movie sell. I think it's a fun movie.
Yeah.
And I'd like to do more of them, you know. You know, I'm doing Citizen Kane in 2 years. Next, Lewis Black, Citizen Kane. Orson's got nothing on me. I'm gaining 400 pounds for the role. I'm doing it as the fat Orson would do it. I think it's like anything else. It's like this is. Anything I've done within this business is a learn. This is another learning experience, and it's how to because I'm going to write another book. I mean, and learning how to do press is important, you know. And so it's, you know, this has been so that's why I do it, and because, you know, I'd like to see Stephen get, you know, Stephen and get another good movie out of this. You know, you do it for a lot of reasons. But I like it. I mean, there's a part of me that wants to be seen. You know, any way that I can gather a larger audience. I don't want to. I'm not looking for a big main, and I'm never going to have one saying what I'm saying. You know, if I ever get to a massive mainstream audience, then we are in deep, deep shit.
But I think people do know you, though. I think people, you know, like when they hear that, and they know that you're going to be loud and obnoxious. Which,
yeah.
I mean, you know, they hear Lewis Black, and they're like, oh, cool. You know,
yeah.
I mean, is that the kind of persona that you want to...
Well, that's the one I'm stuck with.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Lassie's... I always compare it to Lassie's. Lassie can't really bitch that he's a collie. God damn it. I wanted to be a poodle. So, I mean, that's who I am, and that's what I... And it's funny, because the way in which you, at least I learned, you know, in stand-up, finding your persona is the biggest bitch. And literally, it was... the persona that I had when I was, you know, 14, and it was the, you know, when I started to realize what that persona was, and it took me years to go back and find it.
You've been doing this for a while. What's been your biggest heartache in the industry?
The biggest heartache?
Heartache in the industry.
This could be where I have the meltdown. wow. Because I don't, it's like funny, you drop a lot of the, you really drop, you know, the axes you carry around, you drop them. You know, I was carrying around a whole fucking shitload of them. I think was a big one was I had done a show off Broadway that with my friend Mark Lynn Baker. We did a 2-man show at the Public Theater that we wrote. It was before Mark did. My favorite year before he did Perfect Strangers. It was just before he did my favorite. And it was two guys, and it was a church of comedy. It was a church based. It was a church based on laughter. And we walked around in. I thought something had fallen from the ceiling. And then we walked around in these kind of bishop's outfits or whatever, you know, the priest outfits with big bow ties. It was 50 to 70 minutes long. And it took up all the issues at the time. And audiences came in and went nuts and loved it. And Joe Papps said, you know, I can run this show here forever. You don't have to, you don't need to get reviews. And everybody was coming and telling us, and me especially, you know, this is it. You know, you guys are set. How can they not like this? And they hated it. Every critic, fuck you, what a piece of shit. And it was mean-spirited, nasty reviews. And that, to me, was a real... That was that, because that would have probably changed things. People... And I kept going, we're doing a 50-minute cabaret. Who gives a shit? You know, and they were acting as if we, you know, taken enough space in the public theater and done a, you know, a really bad Waiting for Godot or something. You know, this was like, who cares? And it was a good, and it was way, way, way ahead of its time. So as much as that was a heartache for it to not break through, what was great, and what's been great about every step of the way is I've always done what I wanted to do. You know, I haven't really had to.
One more question. You mentioned how you liked your character in the script. How much do you actually stick to the script, and how much is actually your...
I'd say it's... I mean, they kind of brought it... It's probably... on the DVD, it's about 90% me. And probably by the movie, it's tough to say because it was so back and forth, but I'd say it was like 60-40, and I'm not really sure how that cuts, which way. I'd have to watch the movie again.
PG-13, too. You have to be very wary of the fact that they're...
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Every time they fucking stop filming, I just go, fuck, fuck, fuck. The worst was doing the movie with the kids. Holy shit. They couldn't even talk. And then as soon as they would take the kids away, I'd be going, fuck, hey, fuck, 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 fuck. But I was very aware of it. But it wasn't tough, because I, you know, you do enough TV and movies, I mean, TV stuff and... You know, doing stand-up on television and doing radio interviews. I'm on enough stations that, you know, I'm pretty good with...
Are you doing enough stand-up? Are we going to see on stand-up, another TV stand-up special?
Well, I mean, the last one is we did in May, so it won't be for a while.
And what about Daily Show? And
Daily, I'll be back. I mean, I got 2 more years with them. And that I'll do whenever I can do it.